the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker, live in Rio, because that's the kind of budget we've got for the Non-League Show now. It's going to be all the way to South America for this, the very first show. Why else would you want to listen than to an Olympic Games special? A little bit about non-league football too. Talking about Olympic Games, we have our own Olympians with us back home in the UK tonight. Shot put winner in 1966, Dave Anson, former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Harrow, Hendon, and any other club
anyone
you like.
You want. Good evening. We got.
Is it?
We got 13 quid of the budget. You got 14 grand.
Yeah, and I'd still spend it better than you. Dave Anson then are with us, providing the laughter tonight, the voice of reason amongst fans, formerly of Supporters Direct, Kevin Rye.
Good evening, Caroline.
I say formerly of Supporters Direct, now applying your trade, advising clubs up and down the land.
Yeah, clubs, fans, you know, anyone who wants a good bit of advice, I'm available, so drop me a line.
Well, I was actually stopped on the street corner last night. My Portuguese is naff, so it's out here with me assisting on all things like that. That would have helped. Also with us, because we're a bit echoey, try and explain where you are tonight, boys.
We're in a porta cabin overlooking, and when I say a porta cabin, I'm seriously, it is a porta cabin, but it's all right. I've been in worse places, overlooking Hayes and Yadin's ground, which looks from the outside excellent. So I'm looking forward to actually getting inside.
Looking from the outside in on the new adventure that is Hayes and Yadin. Delighted. So we've also got director of football at handy, Tristan Lewis, with us. Hiya, Tristan.
How are you?
I apologise to you in advance for leaving you in a confined space with those two.
I don't think our tan's going to be as good as yours after this anyway.
Well, you say that. I mean, such is life and such is the hardship out here. I'm actually working overnight, so I'm not seeing the sunshine. But I know your hearts bleed for me. Enough about me, Tristan. So you're in a porter cabin overlooking this new stadium. Such an incredible time for Hayes and Yedding coming back home.
Indeed. I've been here 5 years, which seems like a lifetime. But in those 5 years, I've not experienced one home game yet. So tonight's going to be a bit of an emotional one for us. Obviously, our priority is to get points on the board and win games. But from a journey point of view, it's been an incredible journey at the football club from some real dark times. Finally, it seems like there's a light shining bright at the end of the tunnel for us.
Dave, as someone that's been immersed in football in London, watching Hayes and Yedding come together as Hayes and Yedding, and then now looking out over this new ground as well, it's a big moment for London football.
Oh, it's brilliant. And I've just wrote down here, I never thought I would see it happen. I really feared for the club and when there was a delay. And I was here, I played a pre-season game here against Phil Bob when it was just the frame, the concrete frame. And I never really, and I said to Tim at the time, I never really thought it would go any further. So I'm delighted I'm wrong. And I haven't been in the place yet, but it does look excellent from the outside. I think, you know, I played against Hayes as a manager and Yedding when they were separate clubs. People spoke about that not being the right thing that when they merged. But you know, needs are must. And I think looking at this facility now, I really have hope for the place, you know.
Kevin, too, we often talk about how we should safeguard grounds for the fans and make sure that club is protected to go forward, to see what Hayes and Yedding are doing, and through the fan ownership too, and bringing them up and through with outside support, is so important.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. You need to have a very strong base if you're going to operate at any level, in senior football. And what hopefully will happen is that Hayes and Yedding will be able to learn from the mistakes that got made by, you know. Sadly, you often do learn by doing and often by making mistakes, and that goes for everyone. So hopefully they'll learn from that, and they'll, you know, I've had a very quick look around this place, and it's got some terrific potential, and it'd be really good if they can make sure that they're not just a football club operating in a fantastic little facility, but, you know, reaching out to the local area. There's all sorts of things you could do around here, I'm sure. And you know, just if I can just mention one tiny thing, I'd be out there making sure that there's a litter cleanup once a week. If I was a local community organisation,
do you fancy doing it?
Sadly, I live too far away. But you know, little things like that can make all sorts of difference. And I'm not suggesting that that's the main thing you focus on because you're trying to run a football club. But there are so many things you can do in a local area as a good community neighbour. You know, there's so much opportunity here. It'd be terrific to see them flourish here. Yeah,
yeah. I just want to come in, Kaz, because I want to ask Tristan what he thinks is important now. You know, for this, obviously, we're going to watch the game tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. And there, it has been an unbelievable journey. But from now on, what do you want? What do you think? Or this season, and maybe into three seasons time?
Well, during last season, me and the chairman sat down and sort of tried to write what would be a 3 to 5 year plan. And we'd already started in that. And from my background, I was at Reading for 8 years in the academy, and coaching is a passion of mine, and developing young players. We've got 5 contracted players at the club. They're all 18. We're now for next season bringing back the academy here full time, so we'll have 36 full time scholars. We've got one of our lads who's 16, who's just signed, he's at Sheffield United this week. He set up the winner against Celtic on Saturday for them. So we know that we've got to develop our own players. We brought back at the start of last season, we brought back all of the youth teams to the club. So we've now got everything from under 8s up to 18s. The under 18s won the County Cup last year. And although they're small steps from our point of view, it is about building our own club. We'd love to have in 5 years' time 85% of the first team being made up of our own players. You know, there's a big thing about mentality here. As I said, I've been here for 5 years and I haven't experienced the season yet without a relegation battle. So we want to make sure that the players coming through have got a Hayes and Yedin mentality. We've set out a blueprint of what a Hayes and Yedin player is. We won't see the fruits of our labour, if anything, probably for a couple of years.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Although the light's shining bright with a brand new stadium, although there's still some work to be done in it, from our point of view, we know we're on a journey, and actually it's probably just the biggest first step of that journey.
And would you agree that another relegation is something you've got to avoid straight away?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was sat next to the chairman when the full-time whistle went against Bath last year when we got relegated, and I turned to him and said, we've got an opportunity now, you know, and that's the big thing. It's got to be an opportunity to try and bring some good times back to the club, to try and build. We've got a phrase here, it's about building a club, not a team. And that goes right from the under 8s right the way through to the first team. And as I said, mentality is a big thing, and just trying to create a winning mentality.
Sure.
You know, I think from the chairman's point of view, he actually started not to enjoy watching the team play at times last year. So we want to get that it's enjoyable. And if we can create a winning team, then great. And it's tough. Everyone knows that in football.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to watching the game and trying to enjoy it. Because in a dugout, you tend not to enjoy it too much at all. The other thing I was going to take you to was the dugout. Because, and it's me looking out in the inside. I've been critical of you in the past and the sort of change of money. There's been a few managers through here in the last couple of years. And I always got the feeling that you wanted to be in the dugout.
No.
No, that's a definite no.
You know, ultimately, from my point of view, as I said before, you know, coaching is my passion and development. That's my skill set. I've done the caretaker role twice, and we managed to stay up both of those seasons. So you obviously get the idea that, you know, you think you might be able to do it. And at the end of the season before last, some of the CVs that came in just weren't good enough, David.
Yeah,
it's for us to take
sure,
a
hit on it.
No, Dave's wasn't in it. It didn't even make the desk. But to be fair, you'd agree with me, you do need stability.
100%. And I was going to say, that time, we actually spoke to Gary Haylock, who ended up coming in, about bringing him back, because he was here when the club had their most successful time.
Yeah.
He was at Exeter at the time. So I ended up doing it from the start of the season, and I won't lie, it wasn't for me, you know. Would have been different if we'd have been sitting pretty at the top, although we weren't in the relegation zone, we were doing okay. But from my point of view, I was responsible for everything at the club, and being a first team manager is, even at this level, it's a full-time job. And all the managers will agree with me, your phone doesn't stop, and you know, even my missus has a go at me, the phone doesn't stop, even as director of football. You end up going all the time, but you know, I didn't want to do that. And I think sometimes as well, you can get a little bit too emotionally attached to it. Results and performances, when you've got your handle on everything, it becomes really difficult. So I've known Mickey from when I was sort of 19, 20 working at Reading, and he's a proper football man. And I think from my point of view, he's the right type of character to have at the football club. And listen, if we have an average to to middling season, that's not going to mean that he's under pressure. It's about, like you rightly said, about getting some consistency. Phil, we've had Phil, we had Nas, we had, you know, I did it for a short while, and Gary last year, and change isn't good for anybody.
No, I agree.
It's a beautiful country out here in Rio, and no sign of Mozzies yet. We have had a sign, though. Here's me thinking that not just the Mozzies buzzing, but maybe an electrocution of our next guest. Dave Watters joins us regular to the non-league show, PR man with the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues. Evening, Dave.
Good evening, Caroline. Can you hear me there via Skype? You can?
Yes. I can't hear Dave Watters. So Dave Watters is about to tell us everything that's happened in the world of non-league football this weekend. You lot will hear it. I won't. Take it away, Dave.
All right. This is the way I like it, actually. You can't cut me off now, Caroline. Right. We've got a smorgasbord of news for you from the last, the build-up to the Southern League and the National League starting at the weekend. Well, tonight, actually, just to start off with something current, Aldershot are inviting Maidstone and all their fans at the game this evening down at the Rec. They're going to pay tribute to a Shot supporter who actually died. I think he was in the army and he passed away. He had post-traumatic stress disorder and it claimed his life in 2011. And anyway, there's going to be a big tribute to him down there tonight, which is lovely. Hopefully that'll be well supported. Over at Dagenham, John Steele, he made a big signing today. He's brought Paul Benson back to the club. I think Benson was one of the boys that helped them win promotion up into the Football League back in 2005. So he's 36 now, but the Daggers fans must be delighted with that. He left Luton at the end of last season. Another big signing actually today as well, down at Dover, Ross Lafayette, if I can pronounce his name right. He has joined Dover. He didn't score at the weekend, but it's worth mentioning their game at Wrexham, the crowd there, they had a whopping 5,603 fans up at the racecourse on Saturday for a 0-0 draw. So hopefully Ross can change that for Athletic. But that was a great start for gate-wise anyway, I'm sure, the National League. And our friend Colin Peake, I don't know if we'll hear from him tonight, the PR man at the National League, but he must have been well chuffed. One quite, well, sort of an and finally story from the National League, but it's worth looking. But the dangers of going to football as a supporter. If anyone wants to look at the Yorkshire Evening Post website, or the Sutton United website, actually, they were playing Ebbsfleet in pre-season last month. And Nicky Bailey fired a thunderous shot in. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but it basically knocked a pensioner out, Sparko. Fortunately, he has now recovered. He wasn't too badly injured at the time, but he was knocked out anyway, but he has recovered and stuff. So that's an unfinally from the National League.
He wasn't too badly injured. He was knocked out, Dave.
Well,
do you want to take that one again?
I could try it. But he wasn't brain damaged or anything like that, as far as I know, but he was definitely out cold for a few minutes. And I think you're right, David, to point that out, because I think he may have been taken away in an ambulance, so he obviously wasn't doing too well. Moving sort of down the leagues now to the Southern League, the Ryman and the Northern Premier League. In the Northern Premier League, Coval Town, they've opened a brand new clubhouse. They've just won promotion. They're going into the top flight of the Northern Premier League for the first time in their history. And they've got a brand new clubhouse and facilities for all the visiting teams this season and all their fans. So anyone that knows Coval's old place at Owen Street will probably be very happy about that. Steve Akrig, I'm not sure. I always get his name, pronounce his name wrong. Well, I pronounce most things wrong, but he's gone back to Skem. People will know him from his time at Skelmersdale United and also at Southport, where he played for a few years at Hague Avenue. And he went on to be the captain of Telford. But he was, I think it was 2014, he had a terrible injury. He hasn't played since. But he's going to be working as a first-team coach alongside Tommy Lawson, that great unearther of non-league nuggets up at Skem. The Northern Premier League, actually, they've got this Northern Premier League Football Academy, and they're launching their own version of Match of the Day this season as well. Apparently, they've tied up a new deal with a company called Fill My Match, and they're going to catch every kick of a ball of all the students throughout the 100. I think there's 122 fixtures this season, but that's fantastic for the league and for all these young players and stuff, but to showcase them. I think it's the
Can I just stop everyone right there? Because I have no idea what Dave's just said. So for me, that was the best bit of radio I've ever heard him do.
Thank you. Nothing has changed since we left another station.
And hopefully
guys, I was about to say, our game kicks off at a core date. Is there any chance he could get on of it? Come on, Dave.
Yeah.
So let's leave Dave Waters right there, because like I say, the connection from here to Rio means that I've not heard him. But I hope and I trust that when I listen to the download again, it'll have sounded great. Dave Waters, who will hopefully join in with us every week on the new Non-League Football Show. So then, let's move on to a few other things. Is Tristan Lewis still with us, or has he departed out?
We've been tied up, Kaz, don't worry.
Tristan Lewis, a director of football at Hazenting, which surprises me, Dave, that you're even possible to sit in the same room with him, given your hatred for that title, director of football. But perhaps that's something we can argue about a bit later.
I've been not because he's across the room. You know me well enough that I would say exactly what I think. But he's actually, his explanation of his role here is the closest thing I've heard to a director of football, if that's what I was going to link it as. And his answers to the questions that I've had about when I've been critical of him on the show in the past have been reasonable, I would say, for the show's young.
Well, we should just say that we're live tonight from Rio. And I say live, we're recording this from Rio and also from the home of Hayes and Yedding, the new home of Hayes and Yedding, as they look forward to their new season in the Southern League. And for Tristan, obviously, as director of football, working with the team and seeing this new team come through, something we'd like to do every week. This is kind of like not mentioning all that's gone before, is go to a different club and broadcast from a different club as well. So if you want to get in touch and you'd like us to come along to your club, if you'd like the site of Dave Anderson at your football club, you can get in touch on social media. We are at Non-League Show. Kevin Wright also with us, Dave Anderson. So, and Kevin, a rather interesting talking point from you this week on what the National League needs to do to survive. There's whispers, there's rumours, there's murmurings, especially with this EFL Cup starting, about what's going to be the future of the National League. And worries, of course, that there'll be this huge disconnect from the so-called professional leagues and the rest of non-league football.
There's been a lot of... A lot of flux in the last couple of years, and then obviously that's come to a bit of a head in the last few months with proposals that have been tabled by Sean Harvey, the chief executive, who's clearly very much in control of what's going on there at the moment. He has already got through this EFL Trophy proposal, which this season sees effectively, I know they don't like the phrase, but it's effectively B teams from Premier League academies or from Category 1 academies playing in the old Johnson's Paint Trophy. They're getting a bit of money back from the Premier League for that. But the big proposal, which is the one that that I've been talking about, has been with expanding the Football League, well, expanding the professional game, the solely professional game to 100 clubs and five divisions, so you'd have the Premier League and then four divisions below that, the Football League. To get that through, you need 90% of Football League clubs. He's set a year for that to happen. There doesn't seem to be a particularly hugely positive response to the idea. Quite a few people saying absolutely not. Quite a few people saying, well, you know, it's an interesting idea. So, you know, that's something that's in train. And a lot of it's been come off the back of Harvey, to his credit, actually spending a lot of time talking with both Richard Scudamore and Martin Glenn being the chief executive of the FA. I think really what I've really been sort of then reflecting on is, you know, what the conference's strengths are, and I wrote something about it the other day on my blog, and it's an interesting thought, because, you know, I remember talking to John Moore some years ago when John was chairman of the then conference. And, you know, he would always say, well, look, one of our strengths is that we put clubs back together again. When they get relegated, they often come down in a mess. You know, and they were. Football League was not doing a great job. They were the first competition to introduce a points penalty. Some of that is good. It means at least for going into administration, you might start to think about it a little bit. And that was a good, you know, it was a good way of positioning yourself. And they're also the top of the non-league pyramid. So it's an interesting place to be. But I kind of gave it a little bit of thought with all the years I've done in football. And actually, I think one of its big strengths, non-league football in general, one of the big strengths of non-league football, unlike, I think, the Premier League and Football League, is that there's this sense of a real sort of pride in what it's about. You know, you say, I follow a non-league club, you know, non-league, it's a really identifiable thing. You know, I watch Wimbledon, obviously we're in League One these days. We don't all go around saying Football League in the same way, although obviously there's a sense of pride of being in that division, but you don't talk about it in the same way. And so I think, you know, in terms of what, you know, I don't think it's terminal, by the way. I think the thing is that there are these proposals there and the conference do, I'm sure they know this and I'm sure they're already doing this and their strategy suggests they're thinking about this. They do need to obviously respond positively. They need to get in there and make sure they're shaping the future for the very top of the non-league game and not letting other people set the agenda for them. But I think what a lot of it will centre around is harnessing this huge enthusiasm. And I don't mean, you know, I get described as someone who's an expert in fan engagement, and to some extent, yes, I do that. But what I want to do and what I try to kind of promote and always have done is a depth and a meaningfulness to this. And, you know, that might express itself in fan ownership, which I think is ideal. But actually, sorry, Dave, in terms of the conference, it's not merely sloganizing and saying by the fans for the fans, if you don't mind, but actually making supporters a fully formed part of promoting the competition and not, again, I mean, you know, I don't have a fully formed set of proposals here. I'm just saying you can really do something exciting. You know, you've got huge numbers of clubs in the conference, in the National League, and you could do something really good with them, centering around fans and having fans pushing the competition as being the exciting, real, authentic, you know, game of football, if you like.
Yeah, the first thing they need to do is get you to say National League rather than conference.
Well, of course.
Go on, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's easy to be sort of negative, but we were just talking before the game with Tristan and the guys about, you know, this is a magnificent looking structure here. You know, so Hayes and Yedding are back where they belong. Hendon are just about to kick off in their own stadium again. Tristan was saying, which I didn't even realise, that Slough are only a matter of weeks away from moving into their stadium, which has been ongoing since I was there, and it's a club that's close to my heart, as you know. So there is lots of big positives as well, Kaz, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the health down south. We're seeing clubs up north too, new clubs develop and bring on their new grounds. But I'm interested, Tristan, in what you guys are doing on trying to bring that youth through. I mean, you've stated that your aims at this club in the Southern League is to make sure that they're all young blood that you're bringing through that team.
Yeah.
To do that, you've got to get kids knowing about your club and engage in that community.
Obviously, having a successful first team helps. But I think what we've found even recently is if you can be the club locally that gives young players an opportunity, you don't stand in their way. Like I was saying, one of our lads, we've let him go to Sheffield United last week on trial. He's done exceptionally well. We started two of the last year's under-18s in the first team on Saturday. One of the other ones is starting tonight. I think from our point of view, and I was always sort of told at Reading, it takes a long time to build a reputation, but a second to lose it. Mm. And I think that from our point of view, we're trying to build our reputation that we are trying to give young players the chance. So, you know, and I always see it that you're actually doing a sales pitch to a parent and a player a lot of the time. And that sales pitch is that we will try and help you to achieve your goals. Our goal as a club is to develop our own players. And if it means that a player uses us for 3 or 4 years, you know, we want to be the club that helped them do that. I mean, we had Ben Gladwin here. I had Ben at Reading and we had him here. And he found it really difficult when he was 18, 19. And unfortunately, the club was in a position then that he wasn't secured. We sent him to a lower league. He did exceptionally well at Marlow. He then went straight to Swindon. And then he's now at QPR. But Johnny Goddard, we had here when he was released from Reading, he went on to Swindon. So we've got experience of really good, young, talented players using the club to help themselves. But we weren't ever in a position to really maximise what help we could give them. And certainly, the financial repercussions of developing a good young player. So we want to be in a position now where our club is based around that. And if we do get the next Ben Gladwin coming through, we don't lose them to a League One club. And especially when they then get sold for nigh on £3 million, that 10% sell on from that would have finished this ground a year ago.
Well, that's the point I was going to make to you is that, you know, I've been in the situation myself. We always say we don't want to hold players back. So Jim Shade at Wimbledon, actually, just Kevin sat beside me. And I always wanted the deal to happen because I love the player and I love the club.
Yeah.
And we got it done quickly. But it is important for us at our level that if we do discover a bit of a gold nugget, that we're rewarded. And I think shame on the club that doesn't want to give you money for discovering someone.
Yeah.
Or the other part you covered there is the safety net bit, where young lads go to pro clubs, get disillusioned, fall out, takes them a couple of years knocking about doing nothing. And then they can come back again and we're the people that pick them up and put them back in love with the game.
Yeah, and I think that we're trying to change our own mentality, even from the chairman down as the management side of it, to actually be a little bit more patient. You know, I think that's probably a mistake that we've made.
Do you know what? I'm
going
to put my CV in here. You know?
But no, you know, it's important. You made a really good point earlier about learning from mistakes. And, you know, that's not so much the stuff that's happened here at Bordenham. We've made mistakes from a management point of view of getting rid of players too quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and listen, as any player at any level, you're allowed a bad game or two.
But that comes out of, that's a really good point, because that can come out of how managers are treated now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're like microwave success. Yeah. So what you have to do is players have to microwave perform because one feeds the other. Now, if you have a manager in place, call it Alex Ferguson, who's there 25 years, he can take as long as he wants because he's established at the football club. Yeah. Now you get 25 minutes and you're out the door.
Yeah.
Whereas if the whole place knows the way, and I'm going to pull you on this, if you get rid of your manager between now and Christmas, I'll be down here for an interview. But because I think it's a really, really big thing. And if people...
I get your microwave success, and that's something that I've put up on the wall at home, Dave, after you said that the 52nd time.
It's the first time I've said it this year.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, first time you said it on this new show, so that's all right, too.
There you go. I'll take it off then, all right?
I'd doff my cap to you. Yeah. I do just want to wrap up a few more things before the cleaner comes in and cuts me off. We are, of course, going to look ahead to the new season. The National League has already started. Dave Anderson, Kevin Ryan, Tristan Lewis down at Hayes and Yedding ahead of your game against Hitchin tonight. But there's a load of National League games tonight. And Dave, I don't know if you've kept an eye on one of our old mates, Danny Cowley, Lincoln City. They've got North Therapy United this evening. But Dagenham and Redbridge, and of course, one game in, second games of the season tonight as we record this. Dagenham, Redbridge, top of that National League as it stands after their first win of the season. But all of you, having looked at that top league, where do you think the teams are that they're going to come from? I think Eastleigh again, they're at Braintree this evening. I think they're going to be another one of those that are pressurising. Tranmere have got to have a big season, haven't they?
Listen, John Steele's not only got the T-shirt, he's got a wardrobe full of T-shirt. So I don't expect Dagenham to be much away from where they are at the moment. Danny Cowley, we love him, and he's got the right to be at a big club now, and we'll see how he reacts. But he might be one of them that it might take him a second season because he's got to now learn how to manage a big club.
It's funny, me and Danny have got a good relationship. I actually spoke to him on Saturday. I texted him in the morning saying good luck, and he sent me a nice reply. But when I first came across Danny, we had a little bit of a ding-dong in the dugout.
Oh, me too. That's exactly
But actually, what I've learned is Danny's a top man, and I've got the utmost respect for him.
Yeah,
and
he's
a proper football man, and I'm sure he'd be really successful.
And I think you're right. I think Tranmere, Eastleigh, I tell you what there is. You're talking about the game struggling. There's plenty of money being spent in that sort of top half of the conference. It is a top league now, Kaz. It is a professional league virtually. So if you're asking me for predictions, I'm going to say Dagenham, Tranmere. I'm not going to give you anybody outside of the box, really.
But having just mentioned all those, the clubs that have money, I'm not saying Dagenham and Redbridge have money, but the big clubs that are in that league, it goes back to what you were saying, Kev. If there is this split, if we do have this fifth league that comes in and we have eight teams go out of the National League, what we could be left with, the ability of those sides to go up into the Football League and stay there, are we going to create haves and have-nots?
Well, I mean, we kind of already have. I mean, the big...
That's already there, is it?
To a large extent, because the big problem, which actually Mike Tattersall and his colleagues at the National League are trying to address, is the big ticket item is the third promotion place. And I'm not saying that would solve every problem, because that, you know, that why lies madness if you think one thing's going to solve everything. But the biggest problem since... two up, two down is that they haven't introduced three up, three down. And actually, if you were being completely fair, you might even consider four, because you've got four clubs coming up every season. You've got two coming down. You know, there's a logjam, and what you end up with is you end up with clubs who are perceived as big, who are quite often quite broken and in a bit of a difficult position. And you end up with clubs coming up who are funded, as I mentioned in my blog, if I might promote that again, you know, that are funded with outside money. And, you know, we can all name several clubs like that. And it creates a real problem, because it can end up creating this sort of race to the bottom where everyone's just trying desperately to scramble out. And actually, instead of sticking financial controls in to stop them spending all that money, why don't we just have this, you know, if we want whole game solutions, let's be fair to the National League. Let's keep the National League as it is. Let's have them joining this big conversation that's going on in football between the FA, the Premier League, and you know, and the Football League. Acknowledge their place in the game, because they are a big deal these days, and give them this third promotion spot. So maybe despite the criticisms of what Sean Harvey's been doing and some of the proposals, maybe the fact that he's been positive in trying to pursue this relationship, if they can bring in Mike Tattersall and Brian Barwick and co, and bring them round the table and have them as part of the conversation instead of them being, you know, not really properly represented, maybe we can have that conversation properly instead of it just being a sort of almost... You know, every so often, every couple of years, someone says, let's have a third promotion spot. So maybe this is a really big opportunity. And I think, you know, from what I know about, you know, Mike Tattersall's been was at the Football League a long time. He knows the game well. Brian Barwick certainly knows the game very well. You know, maybe we've got a chance to have something good and something long term out of this, rather than what would really be, I think it would be highly destructive proposal to basically extend the reach of the Football League. Mm. And it would be unnecessary, because I don't, you know, the division itself, the top division of the National League, it's always been part, you know, for some years has been partly professional. It's never going to be completely. So let's have...
No, it's a crossover.
Let's have that, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's really valid. I think that's something quite special about it. Mm. You know, it's almost like the estuary of a river, if you like. Do you know what I mean? Where you've got a mingling of the two types. And I think if you have that third promotion spot, it will do so much good. And also a bit more fair distribution of income. There's all sorts of things around this that I could talk for hours on. But obviously, my blog has more on it on kevinrye.wordpress.com.
Yeah, you wouldn't have know we're not in the BBC now, would you? I'm just googling what estuary means.
Well, look, that is it from us, because we can't afford to pay the bill to keep this line.
Yeah, because you're staying in a first class hotel in Rio. That's why we can't pay the bill.
I wish. Do you know how first class my hotel is? It's the size of a first class stamp. That's about. But you know, I am not complaining, because if I look out my window, I can see the back of the Olympic Stadium. Wow. Life is pretty special.
We've
do you know
skip
what?
Skip outside our window at the moment.
We're talking about Dave's car, like that.
Yeah.
What makes it even more special, of course, is spending nearly an hour with you lot, Dave Anderson, Kristen Lewis, Kevin Rye. Thank you so much for being on the first of a new.
We're back.
Non-league.
Can you believe it? We actually get back. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. It's just like picking up the phone and talking to you on your deliveries every Wednesday. Our new home will be available on Audio Boom every week. There's plenty more links and things to come as well, as we expand gradually like a pregnant woman over the next month. I'm saying it's a baby. Dave's saying it's the beer baby. Continue the discussion throughout the week. You can get hold of us at Non-League Show. This is just a taster, a soupçon. Something in Portuguese that I can't even remember another word. I'd say straw. That's about it. But we will be back every week, and you'll be able to download us too. And if you'd like us on your website, who wouldn't want the pin-up that is Dave Anderson on their website? We've got an embedded player, which is a technical word and phrase for essentially you can just listen to us through club websites too. So we'll be in touch with you about that. And there'll be a lot more content, not just us all chewing on. And at times we'll be live too.
And we'll come and find you as well, cuz. We can come and find you. We'll come to you this time. We'll come to grounds around the country.
On that threatening note, let's leave it there. Thanks all.
Bye. Bye.